Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big, get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Guests today, Lauren and Coulter Darlington. It's great to meet you guys, and congrats on the baby. I see the little cutie there. Her name is Sloan, I believe. It's really great to meet you guys. Thanks for coming on. And tell us, first of all, where you're calling in from and what you guys do with your ranching business.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Matt. So we farm a ranch outside of a small 600-person town in North Central Montana. My family has been here for over 100 years. They homesteaded here in 1916. Yeah, and we've started, so we've been raising cattle and crops for a long time, but Lauren and I started a farm-to-table, a pasture-to-plate beef business, so we, ship beef all over the country.
That's amazing, and then so, I suppose when you both took over for the ranch, how long did it take you guys before you went to this kind of, is that like exclusive for you all now, the way that you're selling that kind of direct-to-consumer with like food service restaurants and things like that, is that all the pretty much what you're doing with the ranch now?
No, so we still grow cash crops, and then we have, so other cattle as well.
That's awesome. And I mean, what's your kind of experience been like selling the direct to consumer that way? Obviously, it seems to be a kind of a macro trend in that department. I've actually had a few other ranchers on the podcast as well that went from doing either like completely wholesale if they were butchering their own meat or had other products, you know, kind of going that direction from like either like, you know, selling at the sale barns or selling to wholesale predominantly. So what is your kind of experience been kind of making that transition from where your parents left you with maybe more traditional modes of revenue for the ranch?
Yeah. So we started our business about a year ago. And so it's just been a huge learning curve. We've kind of just had to, you know, experiment with shipping and marketing, things like that. So really, we just kind of jumped in feet first and have kind of had to grow and learn as we've gone. We've done some courses where we've learned a little bit about marketing. Neither Coulter or I come from a marketing background. So just kind of relying on other people in the industry to kind of help lead us and teach us things that we wouldn't have been aware of.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And I guess as far as when you think about your kind of ideal customer, for what you can tell, who you're selling to, the people are buying from you online or the restaurants that you're working with, what is that kind of carved out into for you guys? Does anything surprise you as far as like any specific demographic or age range or anything like that?
Yeah, so really we've seen a big draw with people who are interested in homesteading, people who are interested in having the security of having beef on hand, which I guess isn't all that surprising, but I would say that's definitely our largest audience.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I mean, it seems like, I'm assuming you guys are kind of homesteading as well. Do you kind of share that message and that process and that lifestyle through like your social media channels and things as well? Is that kind of the community that you built out with these products too?
Yeah, so our mission statement is to unite the land, the animal, and the family at mealtime. And so, yeah, that's basically what we're trying to do. You know, I grew up never having to wonder where the beef I was eating came from, right? We just had our own beef. And, you know, it wasn't until I married Lauren that I realized, you know, that not very many people have that. You know, that's what we wanted to create was, you know, we think that everyone should have the ability to know where their food comes from and know what's in it.
And so with the social media, a lot of what we share on there is helping them kind of see what goes on day to day on the ranch, how the beef is raised, that they consume, those kinds of things.
Yeah, no, it's so amazing. And tools from, you know, other than your kind of organic social media channels that you post on, where are you kind of finding the most, I suppose, kind of traction with the other types of marketing things that you've learned either from your courses that you've taken or anything else that you have set up?
I think, social media, but creating an email list has been big for us as well. Having a good email list.
We've done some experimenting with like posting ads in magazines this year. This year, we're kind of experimenting with a lot of different marketing avenues to see what works best for us.
No, that's awesome. And I guess from the logistical side as well, I've spoken to a few other ranchers, as I mentioned, and one of the biggest challenges I know for some folks, especially that are in the kind of like the corners of the country, when they do think about shipping nationwide is obviously, you know, when you're shipping this stuff from, you know, Florida, California, or from where you guys are, maybe to like a New York or Maine or something, obviously it's going a long way. It needs to be either frozen or refrigerated. So how do you kind of grapple with those costs in the way that you're selling it now?
So we don't offer individual cuts like a lot of people do. So that's one way. So we only ship bulk beef. We have smaller bundles occasionally. We're going to have a Father's Day bundle coming up, you know, things like that. But we have to drive 100 miles just to get to a FedEx to ship the beef.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah. So we're very rural, right? And so, yeah, so it's not feasible for us to drive there every day or, you know, every week to ship a single steak, you know? So that's why we do bulk beef and then ship in larger volumes. So that's one way.
And so with that, we kind of follow the rhythms of nature. And so we will offer 2 beef harvests a year, 1 in the spring and 1 in the fall. And also that just means that we're harvesting the animals at their prime. But with that, it helps the shipping cost. You know, if we're traveling that far to ship, if we can ship in large volumes all at once, instead of making a trip every week, it's much more feasible for us.
That's really interesting. So how do you kind of convey that as far as like messaging? Somebody comes to the website, maybe in like the middle of winter, or maybe just heard about you guys, saw your socials. How does that kind of look for someone? Just like a specific day? Do they have like a countdown on the website or anything like that for when the next harvest is going to be?
Yeah, we use a countdown and we make it kind of an event, like something for people to look forward to. We'll kind of start email marketing heavy about a month out, just kind of letting people know who we are. We have a special finishing method. We call it pasture raised light grain finish. So the cattle remain out on pasture for the entirety of their lives. And then we just do a very light amount of grain every single day for the last about 30 days. And so just kind of educating people and making it kind of a fun event and something for them to look forward to and plan ahead for.
That's so amazing. That's so creative. And I think a lot of the ranchers that I've spoken to is obviously one of the biggest things they grapple with is trying to figure out, you know, how they're going to get to the FedEx. There's a lot of people that do have like cattle ranches. Obviously, they're in very remote areas too. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest pain points, I would think. So that's a really creative way to kind of grapple with that and actually turn it into something fun instead of a negative. They're like, oh, you can only order it twice a year. Like, no, like the day is coming. Like, it's almost here. It's so fun. I love that. So that's so very, very cool.
Yeah, we've also done some, we offer like, if you buy beef on this day, you'll be entered to win a free freezer for the beef, you know, so we'll ship a freezer to them and the beef and, you know, things like that to try and make it fun.
That's really
and
cool.
And one of the things that with selling the beef direct to consumer, people always want, you know, your premium steaks, the ribeyes, the T-bones. And so for us, we just really want to honor the animal as a whole. And a lot of the time people don't realize all these cuts, all these amazing cuts that you can make wonderful meals with. And so by selling in bulk, we're able to honor the entire animal.
You know, that's amazing as well. And you think about it a little bit more of like, I suppose on the marketing side, what is kind of your, I suppose, you know, you think about doing things like that with your email list. Have you guys tried to run any kind of like, you know, paid advertising for things like that? Or are you sticking to more like the organic channels with your emails or socials, doing things like that?
So we have done some paid advertising, primarily through Facebook or in the magazine ad that we recently ran. But otherwise, we really have just been trying to do some partnerships with other Instagram pages that align with our business and people that we think have a similar audience to us. And so that's primarily how we've gotten most of our customers.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
Found that paid advertisements, at least with like social media, like with Facebook and Instagram, they get you a lot of engagement and even some leads. You know, we'll get a lot of people subscribed to the email list, but they're not greatly, you know. So to us, we found that 10 leads from a partner that we identify with that we think would have the same values that are interested in our beef. So 10 leads from them is better than 1,000 from a paid advertisement. It's kind of what we've found out.
You know, it's fair enough because you think about somebody like those types of engagement with that very specific type of potential customer, obviously, is going to resonate a little bit more than just like kind of a blanket paid advertising, somebody who may not be, right? So that's really fascinating. And I think marketing is obviously, you know, a side of things for a lot of ranchers that did come from kind of a homesteading background like you, Coulter, or kind of just, you know, more like rural upbringing, just weren't really very involved in like, you know, kind of the digital side of things or just like didn't come from like a business background. And so I definitely get it. It's a challenge for anybody, even if you do have that background, running your own business, thinking about the marketing, it can take up all of your time. And, you know, it can be kind of just throwing money at the wall sometimes if you don't, you know, take the chance to do the testing and think about those things. So I appreciate your sharing your perspective on that. And I know I said to you guys before we started, one question I do always love to ask on the podcast, I'm very interested in hearing your thoughts as well. So obviously, you know, started this kind of D2C business about a year ago. Obviously, the ranch is much, much older, almost a century, I think maybe a little over, you mentioned Coulter. So, but if you could go back and kind of, you know, do this undertaking again with the ranch and the direct-to-consumer side of the business and give yourself any one piece of advice to do it again, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
You know, one of the biggest things is just be willing to adapt. You know, when we first started, you know, we thought for months and had this business plan, And it's good to have a business plan, but it can also completely change in a hurry, right? So we thought that, you know, we'd be delivering beef all over the states, and we're mapping out, or all over Montana, and mapping out the best route to, you know, cover most of the state. And it, as it ends up, a lot of beef's local here in Montana. So we pivoted, and now over 90% of our beef gets shipped out of state, and we shipped beef to over 35 states last year. So,
oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I guess another thing is just ask questions, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions, even with people in the industry. Well, we were surprised how willing even people that might be considered competitors, you know, people in our industry are willing to help us.
You know, it's fascinating. Even all the people that I have come on the podcast, even if they're not necessarily ranchers, just like folks in the CPG, like kind of packaged good food and drink space, seem to be very kind of open to those kind of relationships.
Yeah.
And, just kind of take, I think, like a, you know, rising tides raises all ships sort of approach, it seems like, with most people that you talk to. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing. And it is an awesome community. I'm looking forward to being more of a part of them. Happy to have you guys a part of that as well. But yeah, I guess also just want to give you guys, you know, an opportunity for anybody listening, just, you know, if they're interested in maybe checking out the product, knowing when the next harvest is going to be, or maybe reaching out to you all for a potential business partnership in any way. What's the best way to stay in touch with you all?
Yeah, so our next beef harvest is going to be later on this fall. You can visit us at www.darlingtonranch.com. And then we also are very active on Instagram and Facebook, so you can kind of tag along with us as we ranch and raise your beef for you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Lauren, Coulter, I just want to say thank you guys again for coming on. I really appreciate you sharing a little bit about your story and your perspective and you know, what you're doing with the DDC side of the business of ranching. So it's obviously something that is really struck a chord with people. I think people are kind of a little bit fed up with, you know, the typical stuff they find at the grocery store. They watch these documentaries. And yeah, I guess, and to that point too, I guess I'm a little bit curious, like, you know, what are some of the biggest, I will say, from your own expertise, you know, in this business, what are kind of the biggest, you know, things that people are missing out on, or, you know, some of the benefits of, you know, eating meat that comes from, you know, something natural and homesteaded and growing the way you guys do it, rather than something you might find in your everyday grocery store shelf?
So there's actually been studies done. They've taken a single package of ground beef from a store, and they've pulled over 1,000 different DNA samples from that single package of ground beef. So, you know,
yeah,
when it's mass produced, and it's in, you know, a lot of it's imported from, you know, other countries, but it's just mass produced, and they'll take, you know, scraps from hundreds and even thousands of animals, you know, and it's all ground together to create this, you know, single package of meat. So that's where, you know, buying direct from a rancher that you can trust really comes in, you know, or you actually know what's in your food and you know what you're eating and where it comes from.
It's really fascinating. I guess, you know, I would assume in something like this, especially with maybe a longer timeline before people are actually, you know, getting the food delivered to them, than just having that interaction with your customers. What are some of the most, like, you know, common questions that you get from folks that are either thinking about buying, or maybe like during or after they're buying? What are some of the common, like, misconceptions that you can see in people like that asking questions about the things that you guys are selling?
You know, one of the most common questions that we get is about vaccinations, and more specifically about mRNA vaccinations. And I'll kind of let Coulter speak a little bit on that.
Yeah. So after COVID and everything, you know, everyone's worried about mRNA vaccines. So there actually isn't any mRNA vaccines available for cattle. So, you know, it's feel like it's kind of our job to help educate people in that way too. But yeah, people just want to know, you know, have they had any growth hormones? Have they had any antibiotics? You know, things like that. So those are, being transparent is a big thing.
And that's really what makes it different buying from a rancher, because we are able to answer those questions. Whereas when you buy a package of beef at the grocery store, you have no one to go to ask those questions, you know, right, to make sure that you're feeding your family something that you can trust.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. And well, yeah, I just want to say thank you guys again for coming on. I really appreciate what you're doing. I think it's super important. And I just want to wish you all the best of luck and continued success. And congratulations on your new third member of your family. And thank you guys for coming on. And I really look forward to staying in touch as well.
Yeah, thanks, all right,
thanks, Matt.
Yep. Thank you, guys. Thanks, everybody.